This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. New from Moultrie Mobile, the Feed Hub offers first-of-its-kind cellular connection and control for nearly any spin cast feeder on the market. When used with the Moultrie Mobile app, you can monitor feed and battery levels, run feeders on demand, receive alerts when feeders are clogged, and remotely adjust feeding times. The Feed Hub is ideal for anyone who maintains feeders. Remove the guesswork and save time by planning feeder maintenance before you drive to your hunting property. For more information, visit MoultrieMobile.com.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers. For a rich, delicious experience, whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Today's episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast is brought to you by Code Blue Scents. Not only do they have an extensive lineup of deer scents and urines, but they also have some scent elimination products like laundry detergent, field spray, and everything else you need. So before you get started with your hunt this season, be sure to check out Code Blue Scents. Hey guys, I'm Cameron Stover from the Hunting Gear Podcast, and today I'm joined by Brandon Maddox, the CEO of Silencer Central. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you, sir. Appreciate letting us be a part of this.
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to it. This is a product that I've had my eyes on for quite some time, and I just haven't made the jump to commit. So I'm hoping that our conversation here sparks enough in me that says by the end of the podcast, like, I'm getting online and I'm ordering one for myself. So let's jump to it. What is Silencer Central?
Yeah, good question. So we started in 2005. Basically I just did it part-time. So I would work at gun shows, and basically over time we've expanded into different states. So, you know, before we could only really work in gun shows in South Dakota and then North Dakota and then Nebraska. And we just sort of expanded from there. So now Silencer Central, so that's 2005 is when I started. So now Silencer Central, we have stores in 42 states. So in simplest terms, Silencer Central manages all the paperwork for the customer. And once it's approved, we mail the suppressor directly to the customer's front door. So we're based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. But like I said, we have licensed locations in every state where silencers are legal. I would say sort of our claim to fame is just making the process of buying a silencer easy. Far as, you know, we've worked with the ATF to digitize the entire process, where we have a variance where we could do things digitally. So basically you could order it from your couch, never leave your couch, and have a silencer show up to your front door in your mailbox. So it's kind of the simple version, but again, it's been building over the last, you know, almost 20 years, to be honest with you.
I mean, it's quite an accomplishment, because I know from experience, to be involved at the level that you are, you've had to really do some battles or some hurdles within the industry to educate not only the consumer, but probably some like bureaucrats and stuff like that on why the benefits?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, I always say that the toughest sale was, you know, I grew up in the South. So when I moved up here to the Dakotas where my wife's from, difficult for me to try to convince people at a gun show they could trust me just because I, you know, most gun shows were collectors. It was called the Dakota Territory Collector Association. Everyone's collectors. So they honestly didn't see a silencer as a firearm. They didn't see me as a collector and kind of didn't want me there. I mean, I'm a little bit unique in that I'm a pharmacist, so I have probably a different background than a lot of people that had booths at the gun shows. And then also, like I said, the Southern accent probably didn't help when I was trying to, you know, get established. So kind of overcoming trust with consumers, because essentially at that point we were asking them to pay for a suppressor for us to take their information, which of course is very confidential information, submit that to the feds, and then for them to get a silencer at the end of the process. So it took many years for us to build that trust with the consumers at the gun shows over time. But then to your question around the industry as well, yeah, you know, part of our process that we are able to mail the suppressor to your front door, there's a statute in the federal regulations that says you don't have to meet face-to-face if no background check is required. And ATF agrees that that is a statute in the federal statutes that obviously we can work under, but their admission was no one had ever talked about this statute or used it or even had it in their business operations in over 30 years. So it was very difficult to get ATF on the same page where they all understood our business model, agreed with it, and felt like they had a good handle on how it operates. And really, honestly, like yesterday, we got inspected in Missouri. So almost every week we get inspected at one of our locations. And again, we're re-educating the people because it's typically different than the people we met with when we set up our license. So, you know, yeah, it's been a long process to talk to people about, you know, getting a suppressor, but even, you know, to your point, the benefits of a suppressor have been challenging as well because of the misconceptions of it's just used for, you know, murders or movies and things like that.
Yeah. So you talked about having like maybe these stores or places where you're being inspected in these states. So you have to have one in every state in which you guys operate from or yes, are allowed to sell.
Yeah, yes, sir. So the best analogy I can think of is, so like, you know, when you buy a handgun, if you live in West Virginia, you got to buy from a dealer in West Virginia. So same thing with a silencer. So I can't sell a silencer to someone that lives in West Virginia unless I have a physical FFL location there and employees there. So every state where silencers are legal, I have a physical presence. I have an FFL in our business name and our product is sitting there. So, essentially on the back end, Silencer Central in Sioux Falls does all the front end paperwork, what I would call the NFA paperwork, the National Firearms paperwork, which all then goes to West Virginia for them to process. And then when it comes back approved, then our local locations sort of take over the paperwork from there and manage all the paperwork to then ship that silencer to the customer's front door. So it's a seamless process in that most of it is 100% automated from a digital perspective, which makes things very clean and easy. And it's also easy for the ATF to audit.
I mean, that's an impressive growth format from 2005 to where you started in gun shows to how involved you are within this industry. Because when I think of silencers, Silencer Central is the first thing that pops up to mind when I'm looking as a consumer.
Sure.
Because I've heard of you guys so much and what you've done in our industry.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's obviously challenges in the industry because we sort of grew up, think of us as essentially a one-stop shop. I mean, we're basically in a lot of ways, we're your dealer, we're your wholesaler, and we can also be your manufacturer. So we sell every product available on the market, but we also have our own brands that are made for us by silencer manufacturers. Some of the big ones that already make silencers for us and we put our name on them. So, you know, it goes back to the original goal of making sure that we make the process easy for the customer to get a silencer. And so that's why we brought some of it in-house where we have some of our own that are made for us. And the reason, even now, if you look at right now in the marketplace today, most people don't have any silencers on the shelf because the approval times are kind of at a historical low. The ATF is approving them quicker than they've ever approved them. And because of that, their demand is so high that no one can keep anything on the shelf. So if I was only a dealer, I would be out of business because I don't have anything to sell. But we're in a great situation that we've worked with a lot of manufacturers to make silencers for us over the last 20 years. So we've got product on the shelf that we can still sell and get to consumers that want to take part of this, you know, sort of They're calling it the golden years of ATF approval times. I mean, we're honestly seeing approval times sometimes real time. Like literally, we'll submit it, and by the end of the day, the customer's approved.
Holy cow. Okay, yeah. That really convinces me to speed this process up and go ahead and take advantage of that opportunity.
You know, I should put some disclaimers in there. ATF tells me 71% of people they do a background check on are approved instantly. So then we get the approval within 24 hours. But, you know, that, of course, means 29% of people have to be manually reviewed and FBI has to look at it. And typically that means that someone has a similar name to you and similar date of birth in your state that's a felon, and they have to make sure it's not you. Or if you've been ever arrested before, they got to check and figure out what you're arrested for and how sort of it ended. But if you have a unique name and you've never been arrested before and there's not a felon with your unique name in your state, 71% of the time, you're going to fly through with an approval very quickly.
Oh, that's awesome. So,
yeah,
this is a hunting related podcast. And I know suppressors appeal to not only hunters, but target shooters and just gun enthusiasts in general. But let's talk about the benefits of using a suppressor for hunting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, I should have clarified that with us starting in the Dakotas, and really honestly what got me into it, because a lot of people say, wow, you're a pharmacist. How'd you get into this? Man, I started shooting prairie dogs. And, you know, once I get into something, I kind of want to dominate it. And I found that every time I go out there to shoot the prairie dogs, they would sort of scatter because they're, you know, they're fairly astute prairie rats. You know, once they get shot at, they go in the hole. So that's what drove me to get a suppressor and then had a ton of success with hunting with it. But the other thing is, I would say probably almost 100% of the customers that we sold to and started our business with in the Dakotas were all hunters. They were all typically varmint hunters, coyote hunters, whitetail hunters. So we have a ton of experience in that sort of realm. But to think about the benefits for hunting with a suppressor, I mean, the obvious one is protecting your own ears. A lot of people, that's the first thing they think about. The other things that people don't think about is the recoil reduction with a suppressor. A suppressor will reduce recoil about 40%, which is analogous and very similar to what a muzzle brake is. So you're not losing any recoil reduction when you take your muzzle brake off and put your suppressor on. So there's tons of benefits there from, you know, the kid, it's too big of a recoil to shoot a 308. So they're shooting a 243. So if you put a suppressor on a 308, it's going to feel less than a 243. So you're probably able to use the correct caliber for the animal that you're trying to harvest. That's a benefit with a recoil reduction. The other benefit is a lot of times we don't want to admit it, but we might miss a shot. Well, it typically gives you a repeat shot because what I've seen is most of the animals don't run. I've been in every scenario I've ever been in where I've shot suppressed on big game or even small game. I've never seen them run because they're just, you can't tell where the percussion of the sound originated from. So they don't really know which direction to run. They might hear a noise, but they're kind of looking around like, well, where did that come from? I don't even know which direction to run in because I don't know which direction it came from. So that's a benefit of like a repeat shot. Or if, say, both of you have tags and there's two out there, both of you could shoot them, which is a benefit. But what I found also is, what I love is when you shoot, because the percussion of the shot going off is not as loud, you can hear the impact of the bullet and you can tell if it's a kill shot, which is so important, especially for big game. So you know if you need to put a repeat in there, you can tell where it hit by the sound. You know, even for prairie dogs, I always say it sounds like a wet towel, popping a wet towel when you hit a prairie dog, just that smack, you can hear the impact of the bullet. So there's a lot of benefits. I mean, the other benefit too is most people hunt socially, hunt with kids, family members, friends. And if you're hunting socially, typically you want to protect your ears and their ears, and then you can still talk. Because if everyone has muffs on or earplugs in, it's hard to communicate. But if everyone's using a suppressor, you can have a normal conversation the same as if you weren't wearing earplugs.
Yeah, so a lot of those seem pretty obvious. Are there any drawbacks to having a silencer? Maybe a weight up front, or does it make your barrel weaker or anything?
Good question. So sometimes people are concerned it'll slow down the bullet. That's not true. Only in video games. So it does. It actually speeds it up. So if you do a chronograph, it'll speed it up 15 feet per second, 10 feet per second. You know, it does add length. I mean, the benefit is Silencer Central, we created a Banish backcountry. It's 5.5 inches long. By the time you screw it on the barrel, it's going to add less than, you know, 4.5 inches, about 4.5 inches to the end of the barrel. So it's not a whole lot of extra length. So, but you're right. But what you also see is a lot of manufacturers are coming out with shorter barreled rifles to make up for that, so that you can might have a different twist rate on inside the barrel, so that you can, when you put the suppressor on there, you don't have to have as long of a barrel and you're able to compensate for that extra length. You know, the weight. So what you'll see with Silencer Central and our Banish products is almost everything we have is all titanium. And so when you have titanium, like anytime I hand someone a titanium silencer at a gun show, they're like, First of all, they're like, wow, I had no idea it'd be this light. And then the next question is, how do we get started? Because no one believes that titanium would be, you know, it's lighter than aluminum. So it's super light to put on the end of a rifle. But I guess the negatives would be you have a little bit of extra length on there and a little bit of weight, but you can mitigate that with titanium and it's not that big of an issue.
This episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast is brought to you by the Moultrie Mobile Feed Hub. How many times have you gone to check your deer feeder only to realize that it wasn't working properly and your well-planned hunt would be a waste of time because there's no telling how long it had been empty or clogged? Well, the Feed Hub solves all of these problems by bringing the power and convenience of cellular technology directly to your deer feeder. With the Feed Hub, you have complete control over feed times and you can rest easy knowing your feeder is working properly and you'll be ready for your next hunt. The Feed Hub's universal design means it'll work with most major brands of feeders. And you can learn more information at MoultrieMobile.com. Great. What about the life cycle of a silencer? How many shots it's good for or something like that?
Yeah, you know, pretty much everything Silencer Central sells, whether it be products that we have manufactured for us or other people's products, they're all guaranteed for life. And the hole through the middle of the silencer is actually bigger than the bullet, so nothing touches. So it'd be difficult for it ever to really like sort of wear out. Sometimes people worry about that first baffle wearing out, but what's good about, say, like the Banish 30 product, you just take the end cap off, it comes with a tool to spin it off, the baffles slide out, and you could replace that baffle, like we'd give you a new baffle, or you just always rotate the order. If you're rotating the order of your baffles when you take your silencer apart to clean it, you don't have to worry about too much wear on the first baffle. But far as ever wearing it out, yeah, I've never seen that as an issue with anything we've ever sold. You know, years ago, people would make aluminum silencers for even non-rimfire, and sometimes you would worry about that having problems. But now pretty much everything is, you know, stainless steel or heat-treated stainless steel or titanium, so it's going to last a lifetime. And it's pretty much made to last a lifetime because, you know, people feel like, hey, it's not as long of a process as it used to be, but there's a, you know, a little bit of paperwork back and forth. So people, I guess they feel like if they invest that time and energy to go through the process, they want to make sure they have something they can use for a lifetime.
Well, that's great. I mean, they're not the cheapest thing on the market, and you add on the extra little $200 tax stamp that the federal gets. It adds some cost to that weapon. But the cool thing about it is you can swap these, depending on the size of them, multiple guns, correctly?
Yeah, 100%. Good question. So let's go back to the price. So one thing we've helped to sort of help mitigate that is we let people pay while they wait. So a lot of guys just put $200 down and then they just pay while they're waiting, no interest, no fees, and then they just pay once it's approved. Now, of course, it's changed a little bit with, you know, what we said earlier, 71% of people are getting approved, you know, within a day or two. So you can, doesn't mean you don't have to still just put $200 down and you can still make payments. And if you don't want to pay it off, we could just ship it to you once it's, even if it's approved, we could still let you make payments, but we'll just ship it to you after it's paid for. So people do like that approach. You don't have to feel like you're paying for the whole thing up front. You can just pay while you're waiting. That's a nice option. But the multi-caliber is very popular, and I think that it has only happened, say, in the last 10 or 15 years, because before, all the silencers were typically made out of stainless steel. And a 30 cal stainless steel silencer, honestly, in my opinion, is too heavy for a 223. So that's why people get, say, like a Banish 30. It's 100% titanium. It's modular, so you can make it 7 inches for a 223 and 9 inches for a 30 cal, and then you can use it for both. So most people will buy a multi-caliber silencer and use it on multi-caliber. So typically people will get one for rimfire, maybe one for pistol, and then one for their bigger 30 cals, and they pretty much have everything covered. The only time you'd have to go up is if you wanted something for, say, like a 338, so you'd have to get a different one then.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so it sounds like for what guns I have in my position, I need three to get me going and to be very functional and be able to get the most out of those weapons. Are there any modifications that the barrel of my gun needs in order to accept a silencer?
Yeah, good question. So let's back up on the three you need. So don't feel like obviously you have to get them all at once. You know, you could try one, but my experience is once you use it, it's going to work so much better than you thought. It's going to be easier for you to justify getting another one. But one caution I would have is some manufacturers sell one silencer for like everything. Works on a pistol, works on a rimfire, works on a rifle. Typically, they're big and clunky. So, you know, I don't want to say don't buy that, but just, you know, sort of use that mindset we were talking about of maybe let's get one for 30 cal, maybe let's get one for rimfire, one for pistol. But sometimes people will want to buy one and get one that'll cover all those, and then they're not as pleased with it, and then they end up kind of getting, not disappointed in the process, but they end up having to just buy more So, but to your question on modifying the barrel. So, you know, today a lot of, new rifles are coming threaded with a muzzle brake that you just take off, or even an AR has a flash hider. You just make sure that you take off the little washer. Sometimes there's a crush washer in there. You want to make sure you take that off, because that can change the alignment of the suppressor, the silencer, once you put it on there. But, you know, modifications for a handgun, typically you're gonna have to get a new barrel unless it's a 22. Sometimes 22s will come threaded, or some 22s we can thread for you. We have a threading service, but 30 cal if it's not threaded, or 223 if it's not threaded, you'd have to get it threaded. It's a service that Silencer Central offers. Sometimes people can't find a gunsmith locally they trust to thread. We have a CNC lathe, so you know, it's a big computerized machine that's I have a full-time gunsmith that takes all the firearms apart, and then I have a full-time machinist who threads them, and then we try to mail them back the same week we get them. So the only real modification is going to be, if it's a pistol, you might need to get a new barrel with threads on it, and then if it's a long gun that's not threaded, it's something you can get threaded locally, or Silencer Central can thread for you.
Now, if I wanted to ship you guys a gun that I need, a rifle that needed to be threaded, what's the process look like for that?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, we call it 360 shipping on our website, or you could just call. You could basically call our sales team and say, hey, I want to get a barrel threaded. What are next steps? We'll mail you an empty rifle case via FedEx Ground. You basically take your scope off, bipod, tripod, whatever you have on there, accessory, sling, or whatever, take it off, put it in the rifle case. We give you a pre-printed label, FedEx Ground, ship it back to us. We thread it and send it right back, and you get to keep the case.
Oh, great. And yeah, and that you don't have to ship that through your FFL. You can ship that door to door.
Yep. So it's just like a repair. So like if you had a repair on a firearm, say you'd bought, you know, a Ruger or, you know, a Springfield or something, you had to get repaired, you mail it back to the manufacturer repair and they mail it right back to you. Same thing. Yep. We're licensed FFL. So it comes in our inventory. We put it in our inventory and then we just ship it right back to you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So back to the hunting side of it, is it legal to hunt in all 50 states with a suppressor?
Good question. So silencers are legal in 42 states. So you can probably guess the states where they're illegal. It's going to be California, Delaware, Rhode Island, New York, New Jersey, Hawaii, Massachusetts, and Illinois. So those are the states you can't have a silencer at all, unless, you know, there's some exceptions if you're a dealer. But the 42 states where silencers are legal, you can hunt in 41 of those. So the only one that you can't hunt in is Connecticut, where they're legal. And I always kid when I talk to groups, I'm like, who'd want to hunt there anyway? No one argues with me. So
yeah, I can't say that Connecticut's on my bucket list of places to go and hunt, but as a deer hunter, like, I'm really surprised Illinois is not on that list. Like, there's the heart and soul of bow hunting was Pike County, Illinois, and the whitetail industry. So hey, what's going on in Illinois, guys? Y'all need to talk up to your bureaucrats and speak up.
Totally. You know, there's some lawsuits going on there that might help, but, you know, we're bordering to Minnesota, and I used to think Minnesota would never pass. You know, the governor even said years ago, there's zero chance I'll sign this and it'll never pass. And then they tied it to a spending bill for teacher spending, and it passed. And I remember a guy called me and said, hey, I want to be your first customer. I was like, did it actually pass? They're like, yeah. And I was like, man, I thought it never would pass. And then Iowa passed. But, you know, hopefully at some point, of course, the problem is you got the Chicago, you know, contingency and population there basically deciding to vote for the whole state of Illinois. But yeah, it would be great. We got a lot of people that, you know, hunt there for deer that would love to use them there.
Yeah. So get out and do your part, guys. If you don't vote, this is a topic you need to be talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the federal tax stamp.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me what that's for and why I have to pay somebody $200 that doesn't go to you?
Yeah, no, good question. So it started in like 1934, and essentially it's the same process that it goes through to buy a machine gun. So when they created this process to buy machine guns, they wanted it to be 100% tax. So a machine gun in 1934 cost $200. So the goal was to create a $200 tax on top of that. So this whole NFA process, originally they wanted to put handguns in this process. So to buy a handgun, they wanted it to be the same process to buy a machine gun. But my understanding is it was like right after Prohibition, where they'd taken our alcohol away. And I think the Americans are kind of like, we're pretty much fed up with our government telling us what and how to do. And so they were able to trade out handguns for silencers. And I think the only reason the silencers got put into the NFA process, I'm convinced there was really no advocate at the table to advocate for silencers and say, hey, why are we doing this? This doesn't make sense. These don't kill people. This is not an issue. So anyway, silencers got switched out with handguns. So silencers are part of that process. But, you know, I think Congress felt like they wanted to regulate silencers, machine guns, and they felt like they know they had the ability to create a tax. So they created this $200 tax. It hasn't changed since 1934. And essentially it goes directly to the Treasury. So the U.S. Treasury just gets $200. I sometimes explain to people it's very analogous to like if you bought a vehicle and your dealer asked the state to transfer the title of ownership of your vehicle from the dealership to you and you have to go by the courthouse and pay the local fee. Very similar. Basically, the feds are taking $200 for them to process that. But what's interesting is the money doesn't go to the ATF. It just goes directly into the coffers of Congress to the Treasury. You know, we're trying to change that. You know, we have a bill put forward currently that would take that $200 and have it go to conservation. So then at least it would benefit conservation groups. And we also feel like that that it's very similar to the way like when you buy ammo or you buy firearms or anything hunting related, a percentage that goes into. So same concept, it would go into the Pittman Robertson, which is a fund that everyone's already familiar with. But the other theory from a long-term perspective is that if we could get more money into conservation from this tax stamp, then states would be less likely at some point to try to make these illegal. Because if they were getting funds from to operate their state, local DNR or whatever their, you know, wildlife management processes are, if they're funded by some of the taxes from the silencer, then they would be less likely to outlaw silencers. So it's kind of, you know, obviously the end goal at one day is to completely make silencers where you could buy them just like a regular firearm and not have to go through a process. You could just pick them up and kind of do a background check and leave. But the theory is you kind of got to, you know, crawl, walk, run. So this will be sort of a crawling scenario where we could get that $200 tax at least converted over to go to conservation or something that would benefit hunters and firearms owners.
Man, that sounds great. Like, I'm a major advocate when it comes to the conservation side of understanding what this Pittman-Robertson Act does. So anything you can tie into that to help future generations in the art and the hunting side. It's not just hunters that benefit from it. It's wildlife in general.
Totally.
So that would be beautiful. As far as paperwork and that side of things, so the tax stamp's one that might hold people back, but $200 today isn't $200 back in the 1930s.
I mean,
inflation has driven the cost of everything up today, but that's the only thing that seems like it's gotten cheaper based off of values of a dollar.
Yeah, I agree. You know, a lot of people say, when did this really take off? And I'd say like 2009, 2011 in that area. And I think that's what it was. People realized that, you know, $200 is not as much as it used to be. I mean, I think it's close to $4,000 back then. So that would have been, wow, you know, a lot of money. I know Obama tried to increase the $200 based on inflation, but we were able to back that off. So that was a good thing.
Well, appreciate that. So about the paperwork side of it, and you kind of mentioned that Silencer Central kind of helps guide the consumer and makes this process easier. Do you guys help with doing the paperwork and the filing for the suppressor ownership?
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. So, you know, the official form that the feds call, they call it an ATF Form 4. And in simplest terms is what I was talking about earlier. It just transfers the ownership from us, the dealer, to, you know, to you individually, or we give a free trust where you could get it as a trust as well. But in simplest terms, we capture your information over the phone. If you buy over the phone or if you buy online, we capture information, we generate the paperwork for you, and then we just send it to you via DocuSign and you just sign it. And it comes back to us. We put that data into the ATF website. A lot of people call it the ATF eForms website. So we, you know, put that data in there for you digitally. And then what we do is we have a quick, you know, sort of 5-minute call with you and say, hey, let's just go through your paperwork and make sure everything you told us is accurate and that we put it in there accurately and let you see it. And then you type in, ATF gives you, so your digital signature with ATF essentially becomes like a user ID and PIN that they give you, and that helps identify you individually. So during that call we have with you, you enter that in, hit submit, and then it submits it to the ATF, and then you get a notice saying it was submitted, and then you get the notice when it's approved at the same time we do, and then that's what initiates the paperwork for us to mail it to your front door. But yeah, we manage 100% of it. I mean, like, if you buy something from us and you don't engage, like if we're trying to call you and you don't respond, we start texting you. And in other words, we're very proactive to make sure that you get your silencer, because we know once you get it, you're going to like it and you're probably going to want more and you're going to tell your friends. So I would say not only do we manage it, but we very aggressively manage it to make sure it gets done quickly and that the process is quickly with ATF. And yeah, it's a full machine here. We have a software package, NetSuite, sold by Oracle. It'll do 1,000 eForms applications per hour. So it just, it'll churn through them. Yeah, it'll churn through them.
So you mentioned this NFA Gun Trust.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate more on how that works? Because that right there seems to be the ticket.
Yeah.
Having a silencer.
Yeah. So I'm a big advocate of a trust. Again, I've been doing this 20 years. I mean, we give away a trust free, so we don't charge anyone for it. But really the benefit to the trust in my mind is, so think of the silencer transferring from us, the dealer, to your trust. And then that trust owns the silencer. So the benefit of the trust is it allows two unique benefits. One, it allows you to share your suppressor. So if you have an 18-year-old son that wants to use the silencer, you can put him on the trust and then he can use the silencer when you're not there. Or it could be your spouse, or it could be a friend. Anyone that's, you know, 18 or older and that's not prohibited from owning a firearm can have the silencer if they're on the trust. So that's a nice benefit. You know, it wouldn't necessarily benefit everyone, but it's a nice benefit. You know, put someone on the trust and they're covered. The other thing is you can pick who gets it when you pass away, which is nice. So if you say, hey, I've got a son or son-in-law or grandson or anyone you want, you can pick them. So the trust still owns it, but when you're gone, the trust owns it and they're on the trust so they can use it. So it's two good benefits. Now, the hard part is here's where it gets a little confusing. So right now, ATF is processing forms very quickly, but the trust does take them a little bit longer. So it might take in a couple extra weeks for them to review the trust just because they have to read through it and make sure you didn't put names in there that they didn't do a background check on. So in other words, like I said earlier, 71% of all people who buy individually are getting approved like within a day or two. Same is true with a silencer with a trust, but it's going to take longer. It's going to add a few weeks. So it's just that, you know, if someone says, hey, I want my silencer yesterday. I've got a hunt coming up. I want to use it instantly. It probably makes sense for them to go through and buy it as an individual, which we facilitate and, you know, we don't charge any extra. And if they say, hey, you know, this is a long-term purchase for me. I want to be able to share it with people. I want to be able to make sure I can leave it so when I die. I understand it might take a little bit longer to get it, but I'm okay with that. We don't charge any more to do it that way. So we give customers a choice. So we kind of explain that to them, which one they want. And I think right now our team says it's about, you know, for every 10 people that buy a silencer on the phone, 9 of them use the trust just because it's a nice value add. Most people charge for a trust. We don't. And then maybe about 1 out of 10. So 10% prefer because they want it quicker, but it's solely up to each individual, whatever you sort of floats their boat. The negative of buying it in your name is that when you die, it's going to be a fair amount of paperwork for somebody to get it transferred to somebody else. Doesn't cost anything as far as a $200 tax, but there is a Form 5 that they have to, someone in your family would have to do to transfer it from you to someone else, which is, could be painful. And then also you would lose the ability to share it.
Okay. So if I buy as an individual, can I transfer it later on into a trust by using that Form 5?
Good question. You would have to do a Form 4. So it'd be a new transfer. Downside is it's a fair amount of paperwork and the feds are going to charge another $200 tax.
Oh, yeah. So definitely want to take advantage of the gun trust. And then you said you can add people to and from it as you need.
Stroke of a pen. And they don't have a back. There's no background check done on them. So, you know, silencer is just like a handgun. So a dealer, so the way the statutes are written, as a dealer, I can't transfer a handgun or a silencer to you unless you're 21. But of course, in most states, if you're 18, you can possess a handgun or a silencer. So that's the benefit of the trust. So if you're on the trust and you're 18, 19, 20, you could possess that silencer even though a dealer could not have transferred it to you. So I could transfer it to you because you're 21. You could add your son who's 18 and then he could use the silencer even though he's not 21. So there's some benefits there.
Okay. That works. So gun trust is definitely the way to go on that side of it.
Yeah.
So it seems like this process is pretty quick and you guys have really made it a seamless, easy transaction and a one-stop shop.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I wish I could say it happened overnight, but you know, it's kind of 20 years of focus. I often kid at gun shows that my experience is the easier I make it for you to acquire a silencer, the easier it is for you to consider opening your wallet. You know, it's just, I sense everyone wants a suppressor because A, it's kind of cool. B, it reduces recoil. 3, it reduces sound. It's like all positives. There's no negatives. Just people are sort of that apprehension is the paperwork. So when we tell people, hey, we've worked with ATF to make sure we're doing it right. We've worked with ATF to make sure we're doing it the quickest way. And we've added enough technology into it where it's super streamlined. A lot of people, once they kind of hear that messaging, they're in. It's hard to get in front of someone and get 2 or 3 minutes with them to tell them that. But once they understand that, they're like, yeah, I'm in. You know, the only thing we need a little bit of grace with is, gosh, we're shipping 1,000 silencers a day right now. So it is busy. Yeah. I mean, wow. it's, Yeah, and that's on a slow day. I've seen a ship as many as 2,500 a day. So there's a lot of silencers going through. So, you know, I always tell people it might be a couple of days. You know, in other words, used to when they come in, we'd ship it the same day it was approved. But now sometimes it's taking a little bit longer because we got some backlog. Because the ATF recently just pivoted this, say, in the last 60 days. So we've been trying to scale up and change our whole design in our warehouse and hire more people to help us shift and go to two shifts each day for shipping. Because people are getting approved so quickly, it's almost like it's encouraging more demand. So as people are buying more, then you're just pushing more through. So it's all a good thing. At work, I call it a happy problem.
Sounds like a good problem to have. I mean,
I agree. It definitely drives interest when you tell them, hey, there's a 71% chance you could get this thing pretty quick. Then they're like, all right, I'm in.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, I kind of was hesitant. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to buy one. I've been kicking this around forever. And now that we've talked, I'm just like, okay, there's no reason not to. Like, I was at the range this past weekend, and I'm like sitting there thinking, I was like, I've got a thread-up barrel on this pistol, but I still have to wear these earmuffs. Why do I not have a silencer on this thing?
There you go. Yeah, no, totally. I can't see any downside. I think that people didn't like the idea of paying 100% up front. We work with them on that. People are scared of the paperwork. I mean, we've sort of automated that for people just to make it very turnkey. Also thinking about people who live in rural areas, they don't want to have to drive to their dealer, do all this paperwork, go home, drive back to do some more paperwork, go home, drive back, and then have to go pick it up. Whereas we just mail it right to your front door.
Yeah, I mean, it's really convenient. In today's world, like, people don't and COVID changed that for most people, is they just don't want to go out in public and go to the grocery store, let alone to go sit around and do paperwork in somebody else's office.
Totally. Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah. And, you know, it took a while to get people to get confidence that, hey, we got it figured out, because they may have a better relationship with their local dealer and they're interested in exploring that option. But we always say, hey, this is all we do all day long. So when you call here, you're going to get a dedicated person. That's all they do. And they're going to be able to pull up your information and tell you exactly where you're at in the process and how long it should be and how it's going to go from being from here to your front door.
And seeing this process for almost 20 years that you've been in business, like, I can't imagine, like, as a business owner, how many times you just got so frustrated because you would get close on a state or a policy, and then all of a sudden it would just change, and you're like, all right, we start all over again. Like, I can't imagine how much stress that put on you as an owner.
Hey, it is what it is, right? Like, I'm always saying I'm in it to win it, so whatever it takes, bring it on. If you're interested in examples, so, I had applied for licenses in all 42 states and I was up to number 21. And I basically was one of those things where I told my wife, I'm not going to be home for probably a year. I got to go find locations. I got to hire employees. I got to get this set up. So we got to number 21. I got an email from the ATF said, hey, you know, we'd like to, and I knew the guy, I go to all the compliance conferences, so I know these people really well. And, they said, hey, we'd like to, the way I read it was him and his boss would like to meet with me and talk about my unique business model. So I was like, all right. You know, I call my lawyer. He's like, you can't not go. So I was like, all right, I'll go. Of course, everyone said I should take a lawyer, but I was like, nah, that just intimidates people. I'll just show up myself. So you can imagine what happened is I show up into a room and there's like 40 people in there and they're all ATF people. I mean, they're the lawyers, they're the bureaucrats, they're the administrators. It was everything from licensing to manufacturing to, I mean, their goal was to overwhelm me and hope that I would cave and back down and, of course, they all dressed nice. I was wearing a suit. I mean, everyone was cordial, but it was a heated discussion for about 2.5 hours. And their goal was to really intimidate me in my mind and, convince me that this wasn't a good opportunity for me to try to, create an entire new business model that they had never seen. And they agreed they weren't familiar with. And they didn't like the idea of having to regulate me because it is so unique. And it was impacting every region in the country because in 42 states, you pretty much impact the whole U.S. as far as the way their structure was laid out. But, I survived. And I think that, I made some concessions that they basically demanded. I didn't have a whole lot of, leeway in, but I think it potentially built some respect. I think they saw that this guy is in it to win it. He's not caving. He's going to find a way to win. He's going to find a way to make this work. So putting obstacles in him are only going to be temporary. He's going to find a way to work around them. So if anything, it gave me more confidence that, like, once we beat this and blow through this, it's going to put us in a good position that, you know, it is cool to tell the market about a unique business model that even ATF had never seen, and to be able to say that we executed it to 42 states. And now for the last few years, we've been focusing on that sort of direct consumer message. Before it was, we would go to events, and it's a good message at an event. Hey, we can do all your paperwork at the event and then mail it to your front door. But it's also a good message when you can sort of sing from the rooftops and say, hey, we're licensed in every state. No matter what state you're in, call us. We'll do the paperwork for you, and then we'll ship it to your front door. So it's been fun. It's but you're right. There's always challenges, but it's good. It almost like gets you more fired up for like, all right, what do you got next? We'll find a way around that.
Well, for the work ethic that you've had to have to get to this stage, like, I'll be the first to say congratulations and commend you on that level of commitment, because I know that was no easy task.
Yeah, no, thanks. I appreciate that. But like I said, it was fun. It became a challenge, right? It's sort of like, you know, it was a professional discussion. I mean, I see my colleagues from my competitors meet with the ATF, and they're wearing shorts and tactical and hats on backwards, and that's fine. That's them. Whereas they always wear a suit at ATF, so I always wear a suit. So I've always had very professional, you know, I've obviously disagreed with them a fair amount, but typically I've tried to take the approach of how do I work with these people, whether I like it or not. They have a monopoly on interpreting the rules. So it's to my benefit, my customer's benefit, my employee's benefit to say, hey, what's your interpretation of these rules? How do I figure out a way to do this where everybody's happy instead of fighting them or telling them that they should be defunded? Or it just, I mean, obviously there's a lot of things I agree with that people say about the ATF, but I'm not really in a good position to, you know, say that publicly and have a good working relationship with them. So it's been an interesting, you know, last 20 years of agreeing and disagreeing and pushing and pulling and back and forth, that I do think there's a level of respect there. And, you know, I have had good luck working with them because I feel like I treat them like professionals, and that's how they treat me.
Yeah. So I came out of the energy sector with oil and gas and coal mining. Oh, so cool. I've had to deal with those federal regulators.
Yeah.
So your approach was the same approach that I had coming into that, and it always worked to my advantage if I was just calm, cool, professional, and just had a conversation.
I mean, it's just because I was honest when I first started this. I, like a lot of people, said, Brandon, you're not going to be able to have a very good business because the Second Amendment community is so against the ATF. If they hear you're working with them, then that's going to hurt your business. And I was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to have a business if I don't work with them. Because if I, the thing about the NFA law is it's not very well written out. A lot of it's open to interpretation, whether you like it or not. So it's good to understand how they interpret it so that we make sure we're following the rules. But, you know, for instance, they're all based in, you know, Martinsburg there in West Virginia. So in October, I had the entire leadership team from ATF locally and also out of Martinsburg come to South Dakota. And they said, you know, typically people don't invite us to come see them. And I'm like, we got nothing to hide, man. Our goal is to follow the rules and do what you want us to do, but I'm happy to show us our facility. And I sensed that even now when I talk to them, because I was up there a couple weeks ago and met with them on site there in Martinsburg, they're super impressed with the, you know, quality of people we have, the level of engagement, the processes we have, the duplicacies we have in scanning and different ways that we have, you know, check steps in there to make sure things don't go wrong. And then the compliance that we execute at all of our locations across the FFLs, there's no way they could have seen that or known that if we hadn't invited them here. So, you know, it's created a good working relationship with them, which I say can only benefit our customers, employees, and myself. I think for me, I wasn't willing to take a business risk of continuing to put money into this business of the fear of a compliance issue coming up and then I lose the whole business. So that's why I immerse myself 100% into how do I learn what the rules are and make sure I can follow them.
Yeah. That happened to a buddy of mine. He was in a risky business venture and was making a lot of money, a multi-million dollar operation. And the regulatory side of it changed overnight. And his business went from being very profitable to being basically worthless, except for what the brand was, because he was no longer able to operate in the state in which he resided and didn't want to move. So he just kind of folded and said, hey, it was fun while it lasted, and walked away from it. So, like, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So we've kind of dove in deep on how Silencer Central works and the benefits of utilizing this one-stop shop. But let's kind of talk about your product line.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
So you've got your own lineup of silencers, correct? And then you also carry most of, if not all of.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll tell you our most popular one. So the Banish 30 is probably our most popular one. It's a 30 cal suppressor. And the benefit of that is it's modular, so you can shoot it in a 7-inch configuration or a 9. So typically people might use 7 inches on their AR, like a 223 platform, and then the 30 cal use on all their 30 cal silencers. So think of it as a multi-caliber for your rifles. Be perfect for deer hunting. It comes apart to clean, which a lot of people like. You know, it's probably 20% of people that want to take it apart and clean it. So we said, hey, let's make one and take it apart and clean. And that titanium, you can clean with almost anything because it can handle any kind of abrasive cleaners. Typically, people use like CLR, that calcium lime rust remover, and mix it in with the baffles, and it gets the carbon off, and then they slide right back in. So it's super quiet, 1.5-inch diameter. It's lightweight because it's 100% titanium. That's our most popular. Our second most popular is probably the Banish Backcountry I was talking about earlier. It's a little bit fatter, and it's also a little bit shorter. So it's actually hearing safe on a 300 Remington Ultramax. So it'll handle big calibers, and it's super quiet, doesn't add that much weight or length to the end of the barrel. It's 7.8 ounces, 5.5 inches long, super small, super compact, perfect for hunting. That's very popular. It's also popular for guys that they're looking for a second silencer. Maybe the first one they bought was heavy. Then they look at this Banish Backcountry. It's quiet, it's light. Probably the next best seller is going to be our Banish 22. It's 100% titanium. It's a rimfire silencer. It's going to work on, you know, your 22 mags, your 17 HMRs. It's going to work on really, you know, even a 5.7 it's rated for. So it's going to pretty much work on anything rimfire that you have. And again, it's all titanium. So you can get aggressive in cleaning it, super lightweight. Banish 22 is popular. Probably the next most popular one is the Banish 45. The Banish 45, think of it as working on every handgun you have. It'll work on a 9, a 10, a 40, and a 45. It comes with what they call a piston that you switch out. So the little pistons, you can accommodate any barrel. Sometimes that's one thing that's difficult with pistols is a European manufacturer might have a different thread than a US manufacturer. One might be left hand, one might be right hand, one might be metric. But what's easy is these little sleeve type pistons just pop right out and you can just put another one in so it'll accommodate all your guns. That would work on like submachine guns too. So that's nice. The Banish 45, it's titanium. Probably the next popular one we have is a Banish 46. The Banish 46 straight wall cartridges. Some states you can't hunt deer unless you use a straight wall cartridge, like a 450, 458, 350 Legend. And that Banish 46 will work on that. And a lot of other larger calibers too. That Banish 46 will work on a 338. It'll work on, you know, your other 30 cals. You can even use it on a 223. It's titanium as well, so it's lightweight. That's a popular one. We partnered with the Buck Commander team. The Buck Commander team, typically people think of, Duck Commander and Willie Robertson and his group. You know, they came to us and said, hey, you know, there's a lot of interest in deer hunting with suppressors. Sometimes it's difficult for a person to want to invest that kind of money if they're only going to take a few shots a year, maybe a few shots to sight it in and one, you know, a couple shots hopefully to shoot one or two deer a year. So they came to us and said, hey, we think that there's an opportunity to make something specifically for deer hunting and at a good price point. So that's where we came up with the Buck Commander. So it's like a Banish Buck 30, and that Buck 30, $699 price point. And it's not that heavy, honestly, and it's stainless steel, but it's perfect for deer hunting if someone's only going to use it on their 308 or 243, 6.5, something they want to use a couple times a year. It's a super sort of entry can, like first one you could get, silencer. It's popular. We recently launched a new suppressor that's good for an AR. And sort of similar to the Buck 30, we were approached by Federal Premium Ammunition, and Federal Ammo said to us, hey, we sell a lot of ammunition to law enforcement. We have really good market share with law enforcement agencies, really good relationships. We've been calling on them for years. We think there's an opportunity to make a suppressor specifically for law enforcement. We want something that has less blowback when you're using an AR operation. We want something that's quiet. We want something that's short. So we have we came up with one for that. And like our in-house term for it is like we call it a 2x4 because it's only a 2-inch diameter, 4 inches long. But you probably see that on the website too, as our kind of law enforcement can specifically.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing right now. I'm following along and looking at all of these as you're going through and looking at price points. And the only The only one that was stainless steel is that Buck 30, correct?
Yep, exactly. Yep.
And then everything else is titanium. So I'm earmarking all these as you're going through them, like, okay, I got a 5.7 Rock and this is what I need for that. So, and then the AR, is that kind of, you see more people buying silencers for target or for hunting?
Yeah. You know, interesting, because we'll survey our customers afterwards, and typically there's a lot of overlap. So one may hunt, but also target shoot. So you kind of see it for both. Obviously benefits for both, you know, target shooting helps the recoil. You don't have to worry about earmuffs. And of course we already talked about the benefits of hunting, but, I guess there's enough overlap where people feel like they do both, but you know, that new, Banish that's specifically for kind of the ARs and law enforcement and a 223, that's worked out well because you don't get the blowback. You know, sometimes people feel like they get gas in their face. So that's kind of been a nice, you know, addition.
And like, say, some of these have, you can set multiple calibers for that same one. So your noise reduction rating on that silencer, is it like a percentage? Like if it's, say it's 22, for instance, on a 30, whereas if you're putting a 17 it through that same one, is the same noise reduction percentage or decibels coming off?
Yeah, good question. You know, the hard part with decibels is it's a logarithmic scale. So, you know, I used to always, the most popular question we get is around like, say, a 30 cal. And I used to always bring a set of earplugs to the shows. And I would tell people that, you know, if you look at the rating of the earplugs, it was going to drop at like 20 or 22 decibels, but a silencer is going to drop it even more, potentially up to 30 decibels. So, you know, typically it's always going to be hearing safe. So the average, like if you're using a 308, you might get, say, 168 decibels. So if you went out and shot a 308 with no silencer, you'd be like at 168 decibels. You could drop it down to like 135 with a suppressor on there. So it's going to be as quiet as a 22 rifle, because a 22 rifle is going to be a little bit overhearing safe. So you're going to get, you know, a big 30 cal rifle down to quieter than a 22, which is impressive.
Hey, let me interrupt this podcast episode real quick and talk about huntinggeardeals.com. If you're interested in saving money on hunting gear, there's no better place on the web. Basically, what huntinggeardeals.com does is scour the web for discounted products on hunting gear and shares them in one convenient location. So type in huntinggeardeals.com in your web browser and sign up for the daily deal email so you never miss a deal. Now, back to the show. Absolutely. I mean, for me, I've had the opportunity. So I got newly married, and I now have a bonus son or a stepson.
Yeah.
And had introduced him to hunting and shooting guns, something that he didn't really have a whole lot of experience with. But one of the holdbacks was the noise level that the gun generated.
Yeah.
And absolutely, even with hearing protection. And it was just, yes, there's a shock, there's a kick to the gun. And that could be contained with mounting and how that weapon was utilized. But for him, it was knowing how loud it was going to be. That was a major hurdle. So I feel like if I would have had a silencer from the beginning, they would have kind of conquered that natural fear of guns being loud.
Yeah, absolutely. No, 100%. And I don't think I mentioned the other one, the 223 was a Speed K is what it's called, our law enforcement. So Speed K is the, you know, what I should call out about that is when we first launched it, we launched it in an Inconel, which is a really hard metal where it's almost like a military version. But at the NRA coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to launch a full titanium version of that Speed K. And if anyone goes to the NRA show in Dallas this year, I would definitely recommend they stop by our booth and grab the full titanium one. It's 3D printed. And like I said, it's only 2-inch diameter, 4 inches long. It's crazy light. I mean, it is like you hold it and you're like, oh my gosh, how do I get one? So I think that's going to be very popular on the consumer side, whereas law enforcement probably wants something that can handle, you know, full auto or 3-round burst. But then the ability to get one that's all titanium is great. Because like I said, it's going to help with, you know, sort of the gas coming back. But also because it's called a Speed K, it's super short. So a lot of people like to clear, you know, if you're in law enforcement, clearing a room with it or whatever. So it doesn't add that much length to the end of the barrel.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's so many benefits to it. Like, why I don't have one now is just beyond my measure after talking to you. Is there anything else that we should know as consumers about Silencer Central or about silencers in general, whether it be the cleaning, the installation, or any other of these processes?
So let me tell you one thing about our conservation efforts. So Silencer Central gives away free silencer certificates to local conservation groups. And then we let the conservation group keep 100% of what is raised for that. So I would say if there's any of your listeners out there that participate in any type of local conservation groups or, you know, gun right groups that are having local events and they're looking for something to be able to do 100% donation, to please reach out to Silencer Central. Just to give you a perspective, we're on track to do over $5 million in these type of sort of charitable gifts just this year. So we're really big. And almost every organization that you can think of that does conservation work, we're their number one contributor on paper financially because we let them have these free and we let them keep 100% of the revenue they generate off of that. So if we give them a free silencer and it auctions for $1,000, they get to keep the $1,000. It generates a call into us to get the paperwork started for that free silencer. But it's kind of our way to give back to conservation. So it's sort of a shameless plug for us, but it's also a way for you to tell your audience that if they're involved in local chapters where they could see benefit from this, to give us a call because we'd love to get them some more free silencers. So that's one thing. You know, anything else I can't think of? I mean, I'd say that the biggest apprehension of someone buying a silencer has just been the inertia of the process, the paperwork, and maybe like uneasy stuff they've heard from other people. I would say try to put that in the back of your mind. Give us a call at Silencer Central. Just talk to our people. Doesn't mean you have to buy one. And we take care of everything. We're kind of hold your hand. And hopefully I gave a good impression that we're going to kind of pull you along so that, you know, if you don't become responsive, we're going to ask you to come responsive and we're going to drive the process. I've had guys say, man, I'm super busy. If your staff hadn't forced me to, you know, sign all that paperwork, then I don't know if I would have ever done it. But we'll call you and say, hey, you know, it's been a week. We haven't heard from you. What's going on? So if someone wants to reduce recoil, reduce sound, enhance their hunting, enhance their shooting, and they're looking for a way to make it super simple, you know, Silencer Central spent the last 20 years perfecting that. We love an opportunity to show them how the process works.
Man, it has been a pleasure. It's been very informative for me as somebody that's been dabbling into this.
Sure.
I know this industry is going to enjoy learning more about this process and taking full advantage of the reduced wait times.
Yes.
It's
a big deal. You know, what's interesting is no one else is talking about this in the industry because they don't have any inventory, but we do. So we're in a good position to talk about it.
That's always the benefit is when you have, I mean, you probably learned that during COVID. If you have inventory, you can sell it. If you don't, you're just out of luck.
Totally. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
IOUs only go so far.
Yeah. Totally.
Well, I appreciate it, Brandon. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time to be on the podcast and letting us learn more about Silencer Central. Where can the consumer go to visit more about and learn more about your products?
Yeah, they can just do a Google search for Silencer Central or silencercentral.com, or, you know, our phone number is going to be up in the right-hand corner. Just call somebody and talk to our guys. We got a full call center here, guys. That's all they do is hunt and shoot, and they love talking about it. They love bringing their guns to work and playing with this stuff. So they'd love to chat with you. Like I said, doesn't mean you got to buy one. You may just want to learn how our process works and how we mail it to your front door. But yeah, just call us and connect with us on social media or whatever you want to do. We try to be out there where people can see what's going on.
Sounds good. I'll drop a link in the show notes where they can find you. And I appreciate you being on today's podcast.
No, thanks so much for having me, sir.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.